someone basically argued that you can't really do thought leadership or have thought leadership in SEO content because, I don't know, the Google algorithm rewards similarity. So your SEO content has to be about like kind of saying the same thing as everyone else for that keyword. And we, of course, vehemently disagree.
His opinion is that you're not able to rank in the top three spots of Google if you have a completely different opinion than everyone else. And I think that's kind of what we want to show people, is that that's not true. We have examples of us Grow and Convert ranking for high value terms with search volume in a very competitive space against other big content players. We have examples of a medical site that has a completely different opinion on concussion treatment than almost any doctor. And they rank for, I don't even know, like 50 plus different terms that share this completely contrarian approach to concussion treatment. And then we also have just some smaller examples of SaaS clients that aren't as differentiated, but we're going to show you how unique opinions in there are still able to rank.
Today we want to talk about SEO content. We've normally talked a lot about strategy and then, of course, different things we're doing in our business. But today we want to talk about quality of SEO content versus thought leadership. And you, Benji, were in a conversation in LinkedIn recently that prompted this, where someone basically argued that you can't really do thought leadership or have thought leadership in SEO content because, I don't know, the Google algorithm rewards similarity. So your SEO content has to be about like kind of saying the same thing as everyone else for that keyword. And we, of course, vehemently disagree. Why don't you start by explaining kind of the nuances of that conversation? And then we can show a bunch of examples.
Sure. Yeah, I came across this post on LinkedIn. It's by Ryan Law, who's director of content marketing at Ahrefs and Historic at Animals. And I thought it was interesting. So it just starts off by saying SEO thought leadership is a category error. Search is a consensus machine. It rewards similarity in content. You can't share novel ideas and unpopular opinions and also rank in the top three in competitive SERPs. So it says, good thought leadership lives outside the Overton window. Google punishes that. Try to reconcile the two and you generally get an awful combination of diluted opinion and content that fails to meet basic search intent, the worst of both worlds. Instead, better to think of SEO plus information gain, injecting new ideas, perspectives, data, experiences into content that meets primary intent. Stop worrying about SEO thought leadership and start working on information gain. I commented and said, I disagree with this. Certain queries warrant thought leadership while others don't. So you could think of basically any top of funnel query, like what is content marketing? What is X? Or a lot of those, there's not going to be really novel opinions. And so basically Google will reward similarity in those because you got to think definitional terms or just broad category. Broad research on a category is not going to be that differentiated, but if you start to think about moving down the funnel to like how-to posts, to comparisons, to basically anything that falls into our pain point SEO framework, like the diagram of middle to the bottom of the funnel, the category terms, the comparisons and alternatives, and all the jobs to be done keywords, I would argue that that thought leadership is warranted in there and you can rank. And that's what we're going to show you today is just a bunch of examples of us basically, in our opinion, using thought leadership. And so one thing that we got into debate on was what is thought leadership versus information gain? And so I said, I basically asked Ryan, what's the difference in your definition between thought leadership and information gain? Is it just taking a contrarian view? And he said, in my opinion, I can add a new subtopic to my article or an extra step to my process or some subject matter expert quotes, and that's all information gain. But none of these things would challenge the reader's belief or argue against the status quo or share insight. And so basically the challenge here, or his opinion, is that you're not able to rank in the top three spots of Google if you have a completely different opinion than everyone else. And I think that's kind of what we want to show people, is that that's not true. We have examples of us grow and convert ranking for high value terms with search volume in a very competitive space against other big content players. We have examples of a medical site that has a completely different opinion on concussion treatment than almost any doctor. And they rank for, I don't even know, like 50 plus different terms that share this completely contrarian approach to concussion treatment. And then we also have just some smaller examples of SaaS clients that aren't as differentiated, but we're going to show you how unique opinions in there are still able to rank. And so let's just dive into it.
I think before we get to the examples, we need to talk about certain kind of big picture things. First of all, this viewpoint is not exclusive to Ryan and this LinkedIn discussion you
had. Oh, 100%. And it's proven by how many people liked this post. So I think like almost 370 people liked this post, and almost all the comments in it overwhelmingly agree with him. And so I think this is kind of, well, now thought leadership taking the contrarian like angle here. I think we have just a very different view on this than most people. Almost everyone has this belief that you can't rank with very differentiated content.
Yeah. So beyond kind of LinkedIn likes, right? That can sometimes just be a matter of how popular you are on LinkedIn. We hear this from people inside our client organizations, sales calls we have with companies that we may or may not end up working with all the time. And in short, I can summarize it before we get into the nuances of like the definition of thought leadership versus information gain. You could summarize it as just people just assume that SEO content, the moment you put those two words together, it means, for lack of a better term, bad content, right? People just assume that they're good content. They just loosely, and this is gonna now tie into the second thing I wanted to say before we get into the examples that's really important, which is the definition, like what is thought leadership? And we've written about this in the past, years ago, that we need to bring up here. But people just assume their good pieces of whatever they consider thought leadership are sort of just like something they write, and then it's just totally separate from SEO content. And SEO content is about like finding some keywords, some generic stuff, and then like giving like vanilla how-to advice that, as per this discussion, basically is the same as everything else on page one for that keyword. That is not true. And as you said, you and we have countless examples of it. Like, this is what we do for our clients. We'll discuss like three or four here. But as you said, this is exacerbated by something where we have done a thought, had like a thought leadership-y idea, which is it's exacerbated by people only going after like head terms or chasing high volume keywords. So for us, like you said, what is content marketing, or like, you know, ultimate guide, like some accounting SaaS software is like small business accounting. Yes, you probably do not have anything thought leadership-y, anything disruptive to say about small business accounting best practices, because it's just really well established, right? Like, you're probably going to say the same tips as everyone else. But now let's move into what is thought leadership. We have said before, and we can link to these articles in our notes for this, that most companies do not have very many truly thought leadership-y ideas. So most companies, they have, and I would argue it's almost always one. Like, most companies are started on one thing they're trying to disrupt, product businesses especially, right? Like, they created the product because this thing sucked or whatever, right? Like, Uber was created because hailing a taxi cab and like blah, blah, blah was like hard to do. That's like one thing that they're disrupting, right? And that's Uber. Your like, you know, SaaS company that no one's heard of, it's outside of your niche. It's like one small thing. That's it. That's okay. So this idea that somehow your content marketing involves some parallel track of like endless thought leadership, first of all, just get rid of that idea, because you don't have enough disruptive ideas to even continue to do more than one, maybe two, maybe three thought leadership-y pieces. Probably just one. So, and that's like the thing that your product is like based on, is like this thing that you're disrupting, right?
I also feel like a lot of people just consider non-SEO content thought leadership. So there's also...
Oh, they just use that word to just casually refer?
Yeah, like SEO content is SEO content. It's just, it's what you're saying. It's bad content that's just meant to rank. And then people have a different idea of thought leadership content. It's this non-SEO content that you can kind of just... It's like these verbose ideas, basically, that are shared on social.
Yeah, what you're basically saying is people casually use that word, but chances are most of the content you're just casually referring to as your thought leadership content is probably not leading any thoughts.
Yeah. So then it begs the question, are there truly unique ideas even in your non-SEO pieces? But I think a larger reason why a lot of people believe this is just because how most SEO content is produced, where most SEO content, someone's given a keyword or a brief and it's handed to someone that doesn't have expertise on the topic. And then they are rehashing what other people are saying on the topic. So yes, like most SEO pieces are similar because most people all produce content the same way, which is just looking what other people are writing on the topic and then kind of saying the same thing in their own words. So the whole search results are kind of just compilations of the same ideas over and over again. And there aren't that many differentiated pieces because of how most people produce content. But it's not to say that you can't get differentiated content to rank if you actually do have unique ideas and you kind of tailor the piece around search intent.
Okay. So let's highlight this with our cells first, and then we'll move to like three client examples. Just to summarize what you and I have just said, we're saying this idea that everyone's believing that SEO content is just kind of like me too content and it's not thought leadership is exacerbated by two additional, what in our opinion are strategic flaws in content and SEO. Number one, going after top of the funnel keywords. Yes, some top of the funnel what is thing, probably you're not going to have much to disrupt in that conversation. And number two, by the process of who writes it, which is like a keyword is handed to some freelance writer or writer inside an agency or whatever, who that person themselves is just given free rein to just be like, here's the keyword. Maybe there's, and the people are like, no, I gave them a brief. Listen, your brief was like outputted from some on-page SEO software that told you what the H1 headers are. Do you know where they got that from? By looking at what everyone else's H1's headers are, that's what it's doing. So the brief by itself is exacerbating this. But anyway, you're handing, fallacy number two is the process that it's written. This is written by a non-expert who's just been given, like a freelance writer, just be like, write something on this. What are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing everyone else is doing, is just look at everything else and regurgitate. So those are two fallacies. Now, we're going to start off talking about pain point SEO. I'm going to screen share some articles in a second. But for now, like if you're, you know, listening to the Grow and Convert, you know, this show, whether on YouTube or on podcast, and you can figure out what pain point SEO is. It is our foundational process. For us, it's like our core thought leadership or disruption story concept, right? In short, it's this idea of everybody is going after top of the funnel keywords. They do not convert.
No, it's top of the funnel first. And so it's the idea that everyone's writing top of the funnel with the idea that they're going to slowly nurture people or move them down the funnel. And we're saying, no, it makes sense to do bottom of the funnel first and work your way up for the reason outlined in the article.
Yeah. And the motivation behind that inside, you know, pain point SEO is, and here I can share my screen for those that are on YouTube. This is the article. The motivation behind that is a conversion argument. I'm not going to get into this dense screenshot. You can see it. But basically, in short, we argue in this sentence, we say what's interesting, though, is that often the posts with the highest volume of traffic don't have the highest volume of conversions. So when you're chasing these top of the funnel concepts, they don't necessarily convert the highest. This, look at the URL. It is just, yes, we have some categories. The categories are not important here. The main URL slug for it is just pain point SEO. The H1 title is pain point SEO colon. Actually, it didn't start off like that. That was because, this is a side story, but it's kind of amusing. It started off by some other title that had nothing to do with pain point SEO. But once that term pain point SEO caught on, so we created that term. right? Once this caught on, we noticed that when you Googled pain point SEO, some other random blogs were like ranking for it. And we were like, what the heck? Like, we literally invented this. And so then we updated the H1 to literally say pain point SEO colon, which was kind of fun to SEO, to like target a post on a term that we created. Anyway, this is by a large, but by all, you know, measures as a non-SEO piece when we wrote it. There was no search volume for the term pain point SEO when we wrote it years ago. And so that's sitting there. Now, here are examples of how to incorporate this in SEO content. So the standard thinking would be, yeah, see, this is like great disruptive content that like disrupts the way people normally think of content marketing. And it's not an SEO piece, guys. So, okay, then if we Google something like SaaS content strategy, which is a keyword we have attacked in this particular browser, we're showing up number 2 below SEMrush, how to create a SaaS content strategy. I'm obviously not going to read this long post here, but you can see from the first...
Even I would just go to the first sentence. It's basically saying, this is what most people do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me read the first sentence. Literally, the opening of this post is, most SaaS content strategies focus on top of funnel topics and generating what we call content conversions, you know, which are not product conversions, basically, right? Like email signups, which notably is not the same as product conversions, trial starts, and demo requests. This is true of strategies used by in-house and outside people. And then we say, basically, we introduce this funnel concept and say, basically, you're starting at the top of the funnel. That's most content. Then we say, here are 2 fallacies to this approach, right? And fallacy number 1 is, for most SaaS companies, you have a ton of people at the bottom of your funnel that are literally looking for your product now, you know? And then number 2, content conversions, like an ebook download, doesn't actually mean you're going to get any like business from it. They just want more content. They're not necessarily interested in the product. And so you got to focus on product conversions. So what we mean by this is, this now is an example of a quote SEO piece. We created this piece to rank for the term SaaS content strategy. It was not happenstance. The purpose of the piece was solely to rank for this term. And yet the entire premise led by the intro is a, in our opinion, truly kind of like disruptive or thought leadership-y angle.
Yeah, it completely goes against status quo. It's saying, here's status quo, here's how we approach things differently, and we're ranking number 2 or 3 for this term. And so I think that's a perfect example of a very competitive term. Like, look at the people that show up here. So you have SEMrush. I don't know if you scroll down. I know HubSpot used to rank here, but like other agencies, other content sites. So this is like a truly hard term to rank for. And yet we're ranking with a completely different approach to SaaS content strategy than what most people do.
And I think this should be a template that you can fall back on, you being the listener, is if you believe me that your company and most companies only have 1 or 2 truly disruptive ideas, write that piece. That one, you don't need to target an SEO keyword. And we have or are going to record additional videos on this concept of disruption pieces, right? So write your disruption story. Make it non-SEO. Then that becomes kind of like this anchor that lives on your site. And that concept, the arguments inside your disruption story, thought leadership, right? That people would call thought leadership. You can then use that and link back to it and use those arguments when you are approaching these bottom of funnel or mid funnel, in this case, SEO keywords. And that's exactly what we're doing here. So basically, and we've done a bajillion of these. You can look at Grow and Convert on Ahrefs for, you know, Christ's sake, or just look at all of our content. Like piece after piece links back to and sort of makes this fundamental argument. And this, a key thing, compared to what you said was discussed on that LinkedIn thread that you're talking about, there was this discussion or nuance of like, no, information gain is fine. You'll put that in SEO pieces, which is like an additional step in a process or something like that. This is not that. This is not like the SEMrush piece I'm showing on the screen share, sitting in position 1, is a 10-step guide to successful content marketing. Like,
we didn't add 11 steps and say the 11th one is unique.
Right. Like, we weren't like, oh, and then add this a list. Most people do this. No, we were just like, listen, fundamentally from a strategy perspective, most people's SaaS content strategy has this fundamental flaw. And like, here's our solution. So it's not incremental. Okay. So that's this one. And then we want to talk about a client that we've written a case study about before. I'm going to start with their homepage, which is Cognitive FX. They're a concussion clinic based in Utah. And I'm showing their homepage. The homepage headline is "Eliminate Persistent Concussion Symptoms from Your Life." And they're founded on peer-reviewed research by two, I think one a medical doctor and the other like a PhD neurobiology, neuroscience. I feel bad that I don't remember. Anyway, and that peer-reviewed research basically is a fundamentally different way to treat concussions. In short, what their disruption story or their equivalent of Pain Point SEO is most people, when they complain about concussion symptoms to their doctor, are told by their doctors or medical professionals the same stuff for dealing with concussion symptoms. Less light, less sound. Go sit in a dark room. Take it easy. Don't go to loud and bright places. Avoid supermarkets or whatever until things ease up. I'm like grossly simplifying
that. And over time, your concussion symptoms will just go away. And that, like, after a few weeks, things get better.
Yeah, good point. And they have basically found through their scientific research that actually that's not true. That for people who have persistent concussion symptoms, things that last for decades or their whole life, it is terrible and it's debilitating and it's really frustrating because everyone's like, it'll go away, just like go to a dark room. And they found instead that exercise combined, like physical exercise that promotes a bunch of blood flow, including to the brain. And I'm just going to apologize if anyone from CFX is listening to this and I'm like butchering the science. But by and large, this is directionally correct.
Combined with cognitive exercises. So exercise. Yeah. So basically they do an fMRI to see what region of the brain is basically damaged. And then they do custom exercises and like basically like brain training to like retrain your brain and get blood flowing to those regions that can help fix long-term symptoms, essentially.
Yeah. So it's like totally different from what most people say, right? Just like, so to keep the analogy alive, just like we're saying, most people just go after top of the funnel content instead do something, do kind of the opposite. It's here. It's most, you know, advice is go sit in a dark room quietly and relax. And this is no, like get on a treadmill, get a bunch of blood flowing, your heart is beating, and then do these cognitive tasks. It's just like totally different. And so that's their core disruption argument. And we have several things that we're ranking for. So I can actually Google this. But the first article is concussion rehabilitation. So we rehabilitation. So if we Google this, we're number one, or at least in my browser. And the second one that we're looking at is exercise after a concussion. You can Google that yourself to see where this post ranked. All of these are written by us. We've had them as a client for, I don't know, I think it's like approaching 5 years. In every single one of these pieces, these articles, we, again, like go back and make this fundamental argument that if you notice at the beginning of this concussion rehabilitation article, it says, if you notice symptoms after concussion, it's best not to wait to seek treatment. If you're the type to wait it out and see if things get better, then we recommend no longer than 3 months. After that, it is very unlikely your symptoms will improve. Already, that is something that's fundamentally different from what people say. Again, that is not adding a step to a process. It's just fundamentally a different argument. So it makes sense to pursue active rehabilitation, which is what we just said they have kind of created or discovered of concussion and post-concussion syndromes. And you can imagine that in the rest of the article, we go through, you know, specific exercises. There's a photo here I'm showing of a woman like doing exercises with a rugby ball, throwing back and forth. So, and yeah, like this is kind of the same thing, and the same thing we did for exercise after a concussion and talking about that. And, you know, you can see this H2 headline, exercise after concussion, why it's important. So Again, you have examples of ranking for very competitive keywords, in this case, in the medical space, where you made this argument earlier, Benji, before we started recording. In the medical space, this whole, like, say the same thing as everyone else is even more believed.
Yeah, eat from an SEO perspective. So, like, having authority and expertise and stuff like that. But then also here, yeah, like, everyone has made the argument, especially after COVID, that Google doesn't reward, like, the non-traditional information. So if WebMD and all the big content sites are saying this, that's kind of like the truth, and nothing else is gonna rank that kind of goes against the popular belief. In the medical space, we're proving that to be not true. So like pretty much every single article that we've written for them takes a different approach to concussion treatment. So most concussion treatment advice, see a doctor. The doctor is going to tell you to just like take it easy. And like every single post that we've written pretty much goes against that and shows with evidence that you're able to improve long-term concussion symptoms and even short-term ones. So they also have another business that does acute concussion care. So someone that has had a concussion in the last 3 months, even that advice is very differentiated. It's that company right there, Neural Effects. And so you can see we're ranking with two different companies sharing different advice on how to treat concussion that goes against the NIH. You can see we're ranking above them, different health sites for a lot of the queries above WebMD. And so again, just another proof point that you can have completely differentiated information and still rank for very competitive queries, even in the medical space.
Yeah, this is showing like we're ranking number one, NIH is number three, National Institute of Health, .gov, NYU's medical school, I'm assuming, Langone, I don't know, NYU is ranking number five, actually a second NIH thing. So like, yeah, this is extremely competitive keyword and it's working. So then we wanted to show two SaaS examples with less levels of disruption, because we're sort of presuming that you could be listening and thinking, well, okay, fine, but their entire business literally was invented from like, you know, scientific research of a new method to treat concussions. Like, what if I haven't invented some new medical treatment? Fair, right? So we want to show some kind of simpler examples. The first comes from a client we had for a while that we've written a case study about on our site called Geekbot. And Geekbot is I'm going to say what it had started off as. I think by now they've kind of expanded to different platforms, so they'll probably disagree with this definition. So I apologize to all clients that I'm like referring to here and butchering their business positioning. But Geekbot started off with basically it's a Slack app, right? It also works on Microsoft Teams and does other things. But the core thing was it is a Slack bot that lets you ask kind of the daily stand-up questions. So for folks that don't know, daily standups were sort of like kind of are most popular in development and coder circles, where every day everyone on the team is asked three questions. What did you do yesterday? What did you do today? What are you planning on doing today? And then anything blocking your progress. Even that I might butcher. But anyway, they ask those three questions, and it's a way to like quickly get a handle on what everyone's doing. My joke is that because otherwise developers don't talk to each other. And Geekbot, and normally it's done like as a quick meeting in the morning where you're literally standing up in order to not have it go on too long because people aren't comfortable in chairs. But Geekbot, which was created before COVID, by the way, had this, their disruptive idea is let's just ask those questions on Slack. The benefits being that it becomes asynchronous, because basically everyone kind of eventually gets annoyed by these stand-up meetings. So you're sitting around and like two people have some extended discussion about some project they're working on that has nothing to do with you. And especially coders, they just want to be able to like be left alone to code. And so in Slack, you can have side discussions that are threaded. People can take time and respond carefully. You don't have to take time out of your day at that exact minute. For remote teams, if it's a live call where you're doing a stand-up meeting, it could be at an awkward time for some people in a different time zone. So there's all these advantages of it being like written text-based answers asynchronously in Slack. That's their like core disruptive idea. Right? So that's what I said. It's like, that's the idea that the product is founded on. So first keyword that I didn't even spell correctly is daily stand-up question. And I picked this one because this is actually not that bottom of funnel. It's actually like mid, you could argue top of the funnel. So I wanted to show this example to say like, you can do this, like incorporate what we're arguing is like your unique thought leadership-y concept, even in slightly less bottom of the funnel ones. And so here, GeekBot is ranking number 2, and it's been a while since we've worked with them, but I'm glad they've preserved that ranking to number 2 with this post, like analyzing the 3 daily stand-up questions. Now, a good chunk of the post has to do what, you know, that LinkedIn post and that argument that we started this conversation off argues is necessary, which is kind of like you need to discuss what the people are, what they Googled, and therefore it's going to be kind of similar to everything else. They just have to like say, okay, here are the 3 stand-up questions. That's the same. You're not disrupting that. That's literally what the 3 stand-up questions are, right? And then we try to add like some, a little bit of information, but this is what I think Ryan would argue is like information gain, and that's fair. So we try to answer these 3 questions, like why do those 3 questions exist? How do you use it? What insights, some best practices, and maybe we try our best to add this, like what he's arguing is information gain things. But eventually you get down, you know, there's some more questions. This is very information gainy. Here's 15 more stand-up questions that you could try and common pitfalls and all this. Throughout here, we're sort of laying the seeds for the thought leadership argument that's about to come, which is a lot of these questions can lead to extended and long discussions that can be annoying. And so then comes an H2 that says how GeekBot helps solve the problem of lengthy decision-making in stand-ups. And that ends up introducing this core concept I explained, which is, yeah, like, people can take forever to answer this. It can be side discussions. And how GeekBot solves it is it makes it asynchronous on Slack. So people don't ramble as much. They have, you know, and if they do, so be it. You can scan the text. You don't have to spend your time on some side thread between 2 of your coworkers that has nothing to do with you, etc. So even here, we found a way of talking about it. And then the other more kind of simple one is bottom of the funnel, standard bottom of the funnel is daily stand-up tools, where the post we're ranking for is now somewhere, I don't know, mid page 1 here, 6 daily stand-up tools. And this is like bread and butter, how you incorporate your thought leadership-y concepts into this. It is a list of tools. That's exactly what Google wants. You kind of have to do that to rank. But the first item on the list we discuss is GeekBot, of course. And there we have carte blanche to discuss why GeekBot is a great daily stand-up tool, how it changes things, how it changes the way you do stand-ups and solves the normal stand-up problems. Like, this is perfect. You can have some thought leadership-y piece that's not SEO talking about how like the normal stand-up is broken or what have you, if you want. And then you can go after all of these bottom of the funnel SEO pieces or keywords with SEO content, but instead of the same Me Too nonsense, you argue and write and explain the thing you're disrupting. Cool. Last example, I don't know if we even need the last example, is we had a client, SmartLook, which is analysis, like a video, a website analysis, heat mapping, scroll maps, video recording software. And they have a cool one, a keyword that I wanted to mention, which is how to do funnel analysis in Google Analytics. And I forget, you may know, Benji, whether this is aimed to go after funnel analysis or Google Analytics. Or,
no, yeah. Funnel analysis.
And I think we did it this way because when we looked at the SERP or did the analysis for this, that we found that most people want to talk about how to do that in GA because most websites analytics is in GA, and so they wanted to do that. And the normal kind of like Me Too SEO content would be to just go over the how-to. Like, this is, I mean, this was, by the way, written in a time before GA4, but like, this is how funnels work in GA. You find that report over here. There's a funnel visualization report. Like, this is how this works. It counts this, blah, 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 blah. Now, that's all fine and good. SmartLook is kind of advanced analytics software beyond GA. And here's another example of a SaaS client incorporating their kind of like disruptive concept, thought leadership-y concept, in what would normally very easily become just like a Me Too SEO keyword. somewhere in the intro, there is this paragraph that says, however, so it introduces GA's funnels and it says, however, doing funnel analysis in Google Analytics comes with a huge limitation. You can only see where users drop off, but not why. As a result, you're in the dark when it comes to understanding the problems that reduce your conversion rates or how to fix them. You can guess that eventually in the post, we explain how SmartLook fixes this problem. And it tells you the why. And it goes beyond Google Analytics funnel analysis. And that's like exactly what we've been arguing in this video or this episode is like, this is, you know, a heat mapping visual recording software with, you know, features that are like good and they're proud of and that are slightly better than competitors or what have you. But they didn't invent some new way to treat concussions, right? This is like SaaS in a crowded space. And they're doing in this paragraph three saying like, they're finding a keyword where they have a way to say, hey, like, yeah, you want to do funnel analysis in GA. We'll teach you that, but it's not incremental. Like, there are some big limitations to this. And here's a totally different way to do funnel analysis, in this case, using their tool, which, by the way, is like what we argue in all of our work. Like, this is how you then sell. It has the side benefit, very important side benefit, arguably primary benefit, of also selling your tool and making it look good, selling your product and making it look good.
Yeah, and I think the keyword there was funnel analysis, Google Analytics, meant so that if someone was trying to do this in Google Analytics, they would have an alternative option to just the Google Help Docs. And I think we rank number two for that. And I just wanted to bring up this larger thinking of just the new Google update too. So everyone was scared of this Google update and everyone kind of consensus is it's kind of gone after AI content. And to me, that means that Google is starting to go after undifferentiated content. And so like a lot of the sites that took hits and stuff like that, if you just have the same content as everyone else, I don't really think that's what's going to work going forward. So it may have worked up until now. You may go to the search results. And I know a lot of people have been commenting negatively about Google over the last like 6 months. There's been a huge wave of people that have just said Google sucks, the search results suck, they're all the same, they give you bad results. To me, that just means they're going to fix a lot of these problems. And to fix a lot of these problems, I think they're going to start rewarding differentiated content. I mean, all these examples of us starting to rank for, or not even starting to rank, but us ranking for these keywords with very differentiated content, I can just see this continuing going forward and getting more pronounced that the content that truly says something differentiation or something that's differentiated and that's argued well and that has examples or research to back it up is going to be what's ranking in the future. And all this content produced by, let's say, freelance writers who don't have subject matter expertise on the topic, AI, LLMs that basically take what consensus is on a topic and then rehash it. So kind of the same process a freelance writer uses. I just don't think that's going to continue to work going forward. I think Google's going to keep getting smarter. They're going to keep rewarding differentiated content. And so I think SEO and thought leadership combined is going to be something that you're going to want to do. I don't think you're going to want to shy away from this. And so, yeah, that's just my thoughts based on what's happened recently and just seeing like even that cognitive example we saw in September, October of last year when the Google Core update hit, it really negatively hit cognitive. I think they lost maybe like 30 to 50% of their number one rankings. And with this new update, they gained it back and more. And so it's kind of showing that Google's correcting its maybe previous mistakes, rewarding kind of the same information. And now really trying to push unique, differentiated information on a topic and in a wide diversity of perspectives so that someone doesn't go to the search results and just see kind of the same information rehashed over and over again.
This has been argued, I think, recently, and I hope I don't get this wrong, but like by Bernard Huang of ClearScope, founder of ClearScope, and he has this article on ranch style SEO. There's more to it than just this argument, but one of the things that he argues is that firsthand experience So in this little diagram he has at the top, that the way Google's algorithm has been shifting, that they're going to be prioritizing this. And he says one of them is, one of the reasons is because a bunch of kind of generic AI-generated content. AI-generated content is kind of like the computerized version of what we've been arguing in this episode of like everyone just regurgitating each other. AI like literally can only do that. I don't know if some AI stands would argue that that's not true, but like that's what I think. And so because there's so much like, you know, SERP similarity, as he argues, that you can differentiate yourself with new ideas and using firsthand experience. And that's what a lot of our examples have said, right? Like our pain point SEO, it's like everyone's doing top of the funnel. In our experience, this converts better or works better. Cognitive FX, everyone says sit in a dark room. In our experience, like these studies say that this is better, et cetera, right? Hopefully, and we can't predict forever what Google's algorithm is going to do, but hopefully that continues to be the case, that it rewards original content. And if that's what it's starting to do now to counteract this abundance of AI-generated content, it is even more important to get your SEO right, even if you're not using AI, to not just, even with human-written content, to not just do SEO in this like regurgitated, nonsensical way.
If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe. You can also get the audio-only versions of these shows wherever you get your podcasts, and you can follow us at growandconvert.com/newsletter for any articles and updates for when these videos come out.